Welcome everyone joining in today from all of our network churches. And I want to give a special shout out to our friends watching from Donovan or Otay Mesa. Thank you all for being a part of this. And I believe God has something significant, special for you. Yes, you, every single one of us, as a result of these moments that we are giving him right now. As we begin today, I just want to acknowledge that we are now 15 weeks in to our world changing here in Southern California. And in these 15 weeks, we are experiencing what now I'm calling the Big Three. And I'm not referring to the Big Three Summer Basketball League that Ice Cube had going, although I do like the Big Three, and I'm probably sad it's not going to be here this summer. But NBA is coming back soon. The Big Three I'm talking about is, for the last 15 weeks, we have all been living through and are still living through a global health pandemic, a subsequent economic crisis where millions of people are still out of work, have had income reduced. And then over the last month, we've experienced uniquely, not just in our country, but literally around the world, this sustained movement and protest against racism and injustice. The amount of change and challenges that we have all experienced in the last 15 weeks is incredible and staggering. And as mental health experts are now telling us and kind of warning us, is that the amount of changes that we've experienced, if we don't process those well, what can happen is all of those changes and challenges create stresses and tensions. And if we don't deal with them in healthy ways, what ends up happening is they build up and then we end up blowing up onto the people around us in our lives or on social media, who have a different opinion than us. And the result is that relationships suffer. You see, when we are under pressure, our ability to give others grace goes down. Our ability to listen to others and have empathy and compassion and to try to see things from somebody else's perspective, that ability goes away because we are just at the end of our rope and we just can't really cope with everything going on. And I'll be the first one to admit that multiple times over the last 15 weeks, I've been at that place where I've been at the end of my rope, where I've been weary, where I've been tired, where I felt like I didn't have anything left to give. And I was running low on grace and low on empathy. And you see, the problem when we get to that place, and really the challenge when we have all this change and pressure, the challenge is this. It can cause us to look without seeing, to listen without hearing, and to speak without understanding. And when you say it seems like there's a whole lot of that that's unfortunately been going on in our world, that a whole lot of people are seeing things, they're looking, but they're not really seeing what's going on. They claim they're listening, but they're not really hearing, and we can end up speaking without understanding. And all of this is a recipe for all the brokenness that we see and experience in our world and in our own relationships. And that's why I'm really excited about today's message and today's passage of scripture, because it offers us a better way. A better way of handling our words, a better way of handling our emotions within the context of relationships. And so we're going to look at that better way today. And I want you to listen for it. I want you to see if you can hear some wisdom. If you're just joining us, we are working our way for the summer through the book of James. That's what this Faith Forward series is based on, which is a little 5-chapter letter towards the end of the New Testament. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, is writing to kind of first-generation Jewish Jesus followers that are scattered throughout that part of the world because of persecution. And he writes some great wisdom to them on how they should live when they find themselves in kind of these pressure-packed moments of life. And so I want to read James chapter 1. And today we're going to read verses 19 through 27. And we're going to kind of pull out one statement that offers us some really great advice that we definitely need God's help to live out. So I want you to listen for it. And I want you to listen for the wisdom. in verses 19 through 27. Everybody ready? All right, here we go. He writes, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and then you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and the widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." Now, James is addressing a whole lot here, but really in this section of verses, there is a central theme. And the big idea that he's sharing is that when pressures come, whether those be pressures from within or pressures from without that come our way, we all find ourselves tempted to respond quickly in anger. But James calls these first Jesus followers to resist that natural impulse, to be the first one to speak, to respond quickly with anger. And he wants us to replace that impulse with a Spirit of God impulse. And we're going to look at that today. And this is actually our challenge. It's today's challenge. And I put it in a real simple statement. Here's what it is. Ready? Today's challenge is simply listen more, talk less, calm down. This idea comes straight out of verse 19. James' advice is that we should listen more, talk less, and calm down. I mean, how much better would our world and culture be if we just lived by that standard? Listen more, talk less, calm down. How much better would social media be if that was the standard we lived by? How much better would our homes be if that was the standard we live by? How much better would my marriage be if that was the standard my wife lived by? Yeah, I mean, all of our relationships, all of our world would be better if we could all just listen more, talk less, and calm down. This idea may appear to be simple, but I think we all realize putting it into action, doing it, is a daily challenge. Because if we're all honest with ourselves, here's what I think we all know. The biggest battles in life are not out there somewhere with other people. The biggest battles in life are right here. They're within. They're inside with ourselves. I know this about me. My greatest challenge is me. It's my flesh. It's my unruly heart. It's my pride. It's my selfishness. That's why this simple statement is such an important challenge, one that we must take, and one with God's help and his Spirit inside of us, we must conquer. That we would be people who listen more, talk less, and calm down. And what a timely word for our world right now, that if Jesus' people could do this, I think it would tell God's story of his love and his grace in a powerful way. And so here's what we're going to do real quick. We are going to look at each of these statements, and we're going to learn how to live them a little better this week. So let's start with the first one. Listen more. He says right there that we need to learn how to be quick. Like, our automatic response shouldn't be to talk. It should be to listen. Listening is hard. For most of us, it's not our first response, right? Especially when we feel like we are correct and somebody else is wrong, or someone or something is standing in our way. You might remember this little guy, Mateo. You remember him if we show you his picture? Some of you remember him. This is the little guy that he wasn't listening and he was arguing for cupcakes at dinner. And it was really hard for him to listen to his mom, Linda. Watch this.
Linda, listen, Linda. Listen.
Okay, what?
Like everything they do at this house, they can't trust everything at grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Then you're not listening to me.
Isn't that awesome? Linda, listen, honey. That's his mom. I'm guessing he got a butt spank after that. But here's the thing. Listening is an important skill that we all have to learn. It is essential for relationships to work. And it is a skill that we can all grow in. Here's what I want to do. I want to talk about two aspects of listening that I think are really important for us to master if we're going to have great relationships. The first one is this. We need to learn how to listen to God. Learn how to listen to God. If we want to have a relationship with God through Christ, we need to learn how to listen to God's voice. And did you know every single day God is speaking? Every day his spirit is moving. Every day his kingdom is coming. And every day we have a choice to listen to God, to see what he is doing, and then join into the work that he is doing in our world. Look at what Jesus says about having this type of connection with God, one where we can actually listen to his voice. Here's the words of Jesus in John 10:27. Look at what Jesus said. He said, "My sheep respond as they," what? What is that next word? They say it out loud. "Hear." They hear my voice. I know them intimately and they follow me. As we learned in our Psalm 23 series, the Bible calls Jesus the great shepherd. It's a metaphor that Jesus is the one that wants to guide our lives, that wants to protect us, that wants to lead us in paths of righteousness, that wants to lead us beside kind of calm waters and quiet places of rest in our life. And we are his sheep. And what Jesus is clearly saying here is that he regularly is speaking. And those who follow him recognize his voice. They can hear his voice. But understand, we have to choose to listen. You see, hearing takes two parts. Yes, God is speaking, but we have to listen. It's like tuning in to a certain radio station. Right now, wherever you are, there are multiple channels of music and talk radio. There are multiple channels of music and talk radio all around you right now. Right now, there's satellite radio around you. There's FM radio around you. Apparently, AM radio still exists. I didn't know anybody listened to that, but apparently there's still a few people that do. And so think about this. All that music and content is right where you are right now. But for you to experience it, for you to hear it, you would have to turn your radio on and then tune to that frequency so you can hear it. And the exact same thing is true about our relationship with God. He is always speaking. Jesus is always wanting to guide us. His Holy Spirit is always wanting to encourage and empower us and strengthen us for the mission he has for us every day. But if we don't slow down and take time to listen, we will miss it. So how can we take time to listen to God? Well, let me just tell you a few ways that I do that every single day, the way I do that daily and the way I do that weekly. One of the ways that I do that is through what's called the Bible in 1 Year app. This is a resource we've been talking about since the beginning of the year. And daily, when I'm getting ready, my practice, most days, I would say I probably average 5 to 6 a week that I do the audio version of the Bible in 1 Year app. And I'm listening to God's word, which is the primary way he speaks to us today, his truth. And I'm listening to commentary from Pastor Nicky Gumbel of HTB over in London. I love his accent. And I'm listening to him encourage me through God's word and the prayers that are on there. I do that regularly. That's a resource. That's what it looks like in the App Store. You can see it right there on the screen. You can do that. That's something that I do. I go for walks and I listen to worship music. I know what some of you are thinking right now. Dude, you should probably run. Easy. I walk. and I play worship music, like the playlist that we put out when all this stuff first happened. And I'll listen to music and I will pray those prayers as they are being sung. Another thing I do oftentimes, sometimes I'll just shut the music off and I'll pray through a prayer in scripture, like the Lord's Prayer. And I'll pray one sentence and then I'll just pray through those themes. And I'll pray for my family and my friends and I'll pray for our community. I pray for you. I pray for our church. I pray for God's will to be done and his kingdom to come in Chula Vista and San Diego, California, the United States, around the world, that God's purposes would be accomplished even during this difficult season that we find ourselves in. That God would bring good out of often what's bad, because that's what his word says that he does. And I'll pray through those things. I randomly just voice my prayers and awareness of God throughout the day. And so those are just some things that I do. And so here's my challenge for you. Try one of those or a few of those this week. Increase your listening to God. And here's what I bet will happen. As you increase your listening to God, here's what I bet happens. You will decrease your stress. You will decrease your worry. Your peace will increase, and that worry and anxiety will decrease. This is what God promises when we come and we listen to him. So try it this week. If we want our relationship with God to grow, we have to listen to him. And the second thing, we also, if we want our relationship with others to grow, write this down, we have to learn how to listen to others. Learn how to listen to others. Here's the truth. This is so difficult, I think, for us right now, because we live in a culture that is so divisive and argumentative. The regular vitriol and disrespect that we see and we hear on the news, in politics, on social media, sadly, it's just become the norm in our culture. And so no wonder we have problems with empathy and compassion today, because we care more about making our point and getting our opinion out there than we care about listening and learning from somewhere else. Friends, let me just tell you, having to be right or making sure you win the argument at all costs, let me just be super clear, that is not the Jesus way. That is not the Jesus way. Look at how the Apostle Paul asked Jesus followers to live among others. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Look at this. This is how we're supposed to live. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. I mean, does that sound like how you have been living on social media? Does that sound like the type of conversations that you have been having? You know, the killing of George Floyd has created this sustained movement of justice and awareness like none I've seen in my lifetime. At other times where people had their lives tragically taken and there was injustice, I think if you just look back over the last 15, 10, you know, 20 years, there would be protest or moments for a day or for a week. And it was oftentimes just in that one city, or sometimes it spread to multiple cities. But what we're seeing right now is like nothing I've seen in my lifetime. This sustained global movement. And I think God is bringing some really good out of this. I think one of those things is, as a result, many people in our world are acknowledging and listening more intently to our Black and brown brothers and sisters and learning from their experiences and perspectives. Sadly, there's still a whole lot of people resisting this movement and this opportunity. But many people are listening and many people are learning. Many people are experiencing new levels of empathy and compassion as they realize we don't all experience the world the exact same way, that we don't all have the same advantages and disadvantages. And I think one of the good, God, beautiful things that he's bringing out of this is that people actually are listening to others. People are willing to learn, and that's a beautiful thing. You see, when we stop trying to make our point and we listen and we empathize and we learn. We are actually living out Paul's request for how Jesus followers should interact with others. Friends, our world doesn't need more people who will make their point and win an argument. And neither does your home, and neither does your marriage. Your marriage and your home and our world need better listeners. Because when we listen, we build bridges. When we listen, we're giving peace a chance. When we listen, we are making a way for understanding, and then love and unity can be restored and be the way in the relationship. And so being quick to listen, it is a skill that we can learn. And I think it'll naturally lead us to the second point. We will talk less. Being quick to listen means we'll naturally be slow to speak, right? Like that's how this thing works together. Do you know what the opposite of listening is? Think about it, and I want you to say it out loud with whoever you're watching with right now. What's the opposite of listening? Some of you just said speaking. No, that's actually not the answer. The opposite of listening is wanting and waiting to speak. And aren't we all guilty of this? I mean, how many times when you're in a conversation, when you're not talking, do you start thinking about what you want to say next? And when that person is talking, rather than being fully engaged and listening in the moment, what are you doing? You're queuing up. All right, here's what I'm going to say as soon as they stop talking. You see, active listening is the ability to listen without forming a response. You're just there. You're just engaged in the moment. With everything you have, you're listening, trying to hear, trying to see, trying to feel what that person is saying. I just watched a movie this last week titled A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I don't know if you saw that. It was a new movie. I think it was out just at the end of 2019. But Tom Hanks plays Fred Rogers, who was famous for his show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, that was on for decades. Many of you grew up on that. Others of you are like, who's the guy in the sweater? But Mr. Rogers, if you don't know, I mean, he lived a fascinating life. And he, in fact, he was a devout Christian his entire life, actually a trained minister before, was a pastor before he started his children's program, author, all sorts of unique things about his amazing life, musician, wrote music, just an incredible person. But one of the things, as I watched that movie that I noticed, and then as I read our text this week and was studying and praying about this message, was that I was reminded back to that movie at how they did such a great job portraying one of the things that countless people who ever met Fred Rogers and interacted with Fred Rogers said about him is that he was always present in the moment. And Tom Hanks did a great job portraying this part of Fred Rogers' character, that he was always present in that moment, that he was a person that asked great questions and listened more than he talked, even though very often people were there to talk to him. Yet he would end up or interview him. The basis of this story is that a reporter goes to interview him and Fred Rogers ends up getting to know his life and being a part of his life. It's a great story of forgiveness, redemption. Encourage you to watch it. It's a great movie. But the point was that it just showed that Fred Rogers had this great skill of listening more and talking less. Look at the wisdom in Proverbs about this. Look what it says in Proverbs 10:19. Proverbs 10:19 says this, when words are many, in other words, when we talk a whole lot, transgressions, sins are not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. In other words, is wise, is smart. I mean, how many people have we seen open mouth and insert foot on social media or in interviews recently, right? When we talk too much, what ends up happening over and over again, especially when we talk about things we really don't know and we really don't understand, we are setting ourselves up to say something stupid or to say something that we regret. And James would say to us, hey, the key, listen more, talk less. And then thirdly, write this down, calm down. Take a breath. Step back for a moment. Don't just send that email, right? When you get it back. Don't just, well, I can't believe they posted that, and fire off a reply. Whoa, hold on a second. Take a breath. Calm down. Now, let me just tell you clearly, James is not saying here, don't get angry. The Bible doesn't say don't get angry. That's unrealistic. We're all going to get angry from time to time. There are things that will and should make us angry. What's translated here in anger, it's not talking about just a displeasure with something, right? Like you go to a restaurant, you ask for medium rare, and it comes back medium. Like that's not the anger. That's like a small displeasure, okay? The anger he's referring to here actually would be more accurately in English to say deep-seated rage. Deep-seated rage. He's speaking about the kind of emotion that when released, it's like a volcano erupting. And isn't that how we actually describe anger very often, right? Like what do people say? Like, oh, I just couldn't take it anymore. I blew up. I blew up all over them. Or, whoa, you should have seen her. You know, she blew up all over him. Like we describe anger as if it's something out of our control. Like we couldn't help it. It just like a volcano, boom, like it exploded and there it was. But here's the truth. Anger is under our control. Did you know that? Anger is an emotion that we control. I have proof. Let me give you proof that you actually can control your anger. Here is the proof. Have you ever been in an argument with your spouse or with your kids, and then in the middle of that argument, your telephone rang? And you know, moments before the phone rang, I mean, you were going at it. You were like, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you did that. What were you thinking? And then your phone rang, you pick it up. Hello, hey, how's it going? Your tone totally changed. Come on, you know you've done this before. And then you have a conversation like, well, what are you up to? Oh, nothing. Nothing. Like, you're not going to tell them I was just, you know, yelling at my kids or fighting with my spouse. And then you hang it up like, well, hey, thanks for calling. Goodbye. And then as soon as you hang up, you pick right back up where you left off. Well, what were you thinking and why did you say? My point is, anger is a emotion that we can control. Look at what the Apostle Paul says about anger in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this verse. He says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Again, James is not saying don't get angry, because there are things that should make you angry. Things like racism and prejudice and injustice, those should make you angry. Scripture is not saying when you are righteously angry, you should be silent. You shouldn't be silent. Scripture says, speak up on behalf of those that can't speak up for themselves. And so it's not saying that you should be silent, which, by the way, did you know there is a really big difference between righteous anger and unrighteous anger? Did you know Jesus was angry? Righteous anger. Do you know God gets angry? Righteous angry. Romans chapter 1 tells us that God has righteous anger towards the sin and the evil that is in our world. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus had righteous anger at a system of injustice that was created by the Pharisees that made it hard for people to have a relationship with God. It made Jesus righteously angry. And so Paul and James are not saying don't get angry. We will and we should at right things. They're saying don't let anger control you. Don't let it drive your life and ruin your relationships. Because anger left unguarded, unchecked by the Holy Spirit, will take you to places that you will regret. You will say things and you will do things that you can't take back. And I think we all have stories where we've found ourselves in that place. And so being slow to anger is about having a new impulse, a new reflex. Rather than our reflex being that we just tell people off, or we just post people off, or you know, we just blow up when things don't go our way or the pressure mounts. He's saying here, have a new reflex. That rather than the first thing you do is just let it all go or say it all, that your new, the Spirit of God reflex in you says, you know what, I'm going to be quick to listen. slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And as we wrap this up today, let me just tell you, this is not about us just being nicer people. Jesus didn't come to just make us nicer people. In fact, here's a way to think about this as we close. Think about this statement right here. That Jesus didn't come to make us nicer people. He came to make us new people. He came to make us new people. If you hear this sermon today and you think, you know what, I'm just going to this week try harder to listen more, talk less, and calm down. I'm going to really try hard. That's a nice sentiment, but honestly, you've missed the whole point. Because the whole point is that we need the Lord Jesus inside of us, empowering us through his Spirit to do this. That Jesus didn't come just to create a nicer group of people. He came to create a whole new people that live in brand new ways called the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to take dead people and make them alive. This is what Jesus came to do. That prior to us saying yes to Christ, we were outsiders of God's kingdom. When we say yes to Jesus, the moment we do that, here's what happens. We instantly are adopted into God's family and we become sons and daughters of God. We move from outsiders to actually family members. Heirs with Christ is what Scripture says. As we talked about in our 23 series, that now God's inheritance is actually mine because I'm grafted in. I'm part of his family tree. And so Jesus didn't come to just make us nicer people. He came to make us new people that would introduce a new way of living called the kingdom of God. And our world needs that now more than ever before. And how do we do it? Not through our own strength, not through our own power, but through his Holy Spirit in us. This is the point that James drives over and over and over again in his book. That if God's Spirit is really in us, if we really have become a new creation in Christ, then the life of Christ in us should show itself on the outside of us. This is what our theme verse for the series and really the book of James says. And as we end today, I want us to read that verse. We read it earlier. It was right tucked in the middle of the passage we read. It's James chapter 1, verse 22. Could we all read this out loud together? Everybody everywhere in your outside voices, ready, begin. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. This is a call to action. We're not just trying to know God's word. We're trying to live God's word. We're not just trying to be nicer people. We're trying to be new people, the Spirit of God empowering us to live and love in new and better ways. And so this week, here's our challenge. This week, will you listen more? Will you talk less? And will you calm down? In your home, at your job, on social media, let's be people by the Spirit of God inside of us that listen more. We listen to God's voice every day. We listen to other people developing empathy and compassion. We build bridges of unity and peace. We talk less. We take the humble approach. We don't make it all about us. And then we calm down. We don't let anger win. We don't let anger rule us. We control it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us, and I want to ask God to help you and help me live this out a little better this week. Let's pray. God, this is a really simple thought, but it is really hard for us to live out. I know it is me. And so God, would you help us through your Spirit in us? Would we be able to do through your power and your Spirit what we could never do on our own? So God, would you give us an action step we can take this week? Maybe it's giving you a little more time to listen to you, to let your Holy Spirit do a good work in us. God, maybe there's a relationship that we realize, you know what? We didn't listen. We had to win the argument. We had to get our opinion out there, and it hurt the relationship. It broke the relationship. Maybe you're bringing that to our mind right now. And God, we need to make a phone call. We need to send an apology. Give us the courage to do that. Would we be reconcilers in relationships, Lord? And then would you help us as new Jesus people live in these new and better ways? We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.